This program is made possible by the giving of the God Called Partners of Renner Ministries. Get ready for a teaching that feeds your spirit and your mind, where the Word is the anchor in uncertain times, and doctrine doesn't bend to culture. We keep it simple, but dive deep, revealing a truth that strengthens us, a love that emboldens, and a mission that touches the world. Let's join Rick Renner.
Hey friends, this is Rick Renner. Thanks for spending this time with me. Look at Mount Ararat. Is that magnificent? You know, yesterday we continued at the site of Noah's Ark, and in today's episode, we're going to get in a tractor and we're going to go to the place of the landing where the Ark first landed before it slid down the side of the mountain. But we're doing a whole series called Discovering Noah's Ark. It's a 10-part series. I want you to have it. And we're offering you my book called Fallen Angels, Giants, Monsters, and the World Before the Flood. Oh, how I want you to have this book, and please order several because you're going to want to share a copy with somebody else. I know that, but it's time for us to get started, so let's go. Andrew, here we are standing in front of this sign which says
Nuhun Gemisi.
And what does that mean?
That means in Turkish, Noah's boat.
Noah's boat. And below it says Noah's Ark.
Yeah, they kind of messed up on the English-Turkish. They mixed the two languages together there.
That is hilarious.
But it says it's 5 kilometers up this hill.
Now that is amazing to me that right on the main road, there's an arrow pointing to the top of the hill right over there, and up there, 5 kilometers away really are the ruins of Noah's Ark. And today, we're not going to go back to Noah's Ark, but we're going to go even higher
yes.
to the place of the landing. But hey, Andrew, look at this amazing sight behind
we
us.
We have amazing view today of the peak of Mount Ararat.
So you can see Mount Ararat, you can see Lesser Ararat. I mean, this is really an amazing sight. But you know, yesterday, we ended up with a big hailstorm.
That was fun.
And it stopped us from going all the way to the top of the mountain, but yes. that's what we're going to do today.
Okay.
So today, we're going to the top of the mountain, and what is at the top of the mountain?
We believe that is the original site the Ark landed before it moved down later on.
And there's a big indentation there.
Yes, it's in a valley there that we believe the Ark landed.
That's amazing. Well, I think we need to get back in the bus.
Let's go.
And we need to go back up the mountain, and this is quite a winding road all the way up to the top. And as we get closer to the top, I want us to stop at one particular site, which was the favorite viewing spot of the Ark for Ron Wyatt, who was really significant to this site. We're gonna stop there, we're gonna show you that favorite site, we're gonna get back into the bus, and we're gonna sit down, have a little cup of tea, and we're gonna talk about the events of Noah's Ark when they left the Ark. And then we're going to go to the landing site.
Sounds like a plan.
It's so good, Andrew.
Can't wait.
Well, we just came up the winding road, and here we are, me, Joel Renner, Joseph Z, Heather Z, the Denise Renner, and Pastor Paul Renner. And right behind us are the ruins of Noah's Ark.
Wow.
It's right amazing. There, guys.
That's amazing.
I know it.
And do you guys see that double-crested mountain on the top of the hill?
Yes.
Yes.
Right below that are the ruins of Mesha, which is described in Genesis chapter 10, verse 30. And that's where the first settlement was formed after the flood when they exited the Ark. And guess what? Today we're going to be going up through a Kurdish village, and the name of that Kurdish village is Mishar, which is a derivative of Mesha. This place is really connected to the flood and to the Ark. But Denise, what are we looking at behind the camera?
Right behind the camera is Mount Ararat and the small Ararat.
Is that beautiful?
Oh my gosh. And we're looking at it right now, and it's a clear day, and you can see the top of it. It's just magnificent.
Joel?
I was just thinking the same thing, Mom. That mountain is gorgeous.
It is.
Look where it is. It's across from where Noah's Ark is.
17 miles from the real Noah's Ark. Heather?
Yes, it's amazing. And the lava fields, they're just, you can see the layers, how amazing that really is.
Mr. Paul?
I like imagining looking down at the valley, thinking about where civilization started all over again. And when we're here at the Ark, there are so many images. There's water baptism, there's sanctification, there's salvation, there's God's protection. There are so many images here. And do we get to see the stone, the altar stone?
We're gonna see the altar stone in the next episode.
Oh, that's my favorite part.
All right, Mr. Z.
Well, first of all, we're so grateful to be with you on this amazing trip. So thank you to the Renner team, and thank you, Rick, for having us. But looking at this, I recognize that people think Noah's Ark is on Mount Ararat, but we're standing in the mountains of Ararat, and I believe it's a sign of biblical prophecy for the times we're living in.
This is Mount Judy. Actually, it's spelled C-U-D-I, but it's pronounced Judy. And from ancient times, it was written that the Ark landed on Mount Judy in the mountains of Ararat, just like the Bible says in Genesis chapter 8 and verse 4. But I think we have stayed here long enough. We're going to go up the hill to the visitor center. We're going to sit down, have a cup of tea, and get warm before we go to the top. And we're going to talk about what the Bible says about when Noah, the family, and all the animals exited the Ark. Wow. And then we're going to go to the original site at the very top of the mountain where the Ark first landed before it slid down the mountain to its present location.
Wow.
Shall we go?
Let's go.
Well, we have our cup of tea.
We do.
Doesn't that feel good after being out in that wind?
Yes, it does.
And we're here with the legendary Andrew Jones.
He is legendary.
Well, I'm glad to be with you guys. It's always great to see you.
You've given nearly 30 years of your life to this site, and I want to say thank you. But guys, look out the window. Noah's Ark right there.
Amazing.
Joel, what do you think about that?
Oh, there's no words to describe it. I mean, Andrew, I've been watching you every day we come here. And you're like a child every time you look at it. You run out to look at it every morning.
Like you've seen it for the first time.
I run out to get a photo.
And that's the kind of way I feel. That's the kind of way I feel. I just think it's every time it's like, wow, what am I seeing?
Paul, what do you feel when you just look out the window at the Ark right there?
I feel like we're somewhere special, but Heather's response yesterday to the Ark was priceless.
You mean when she began to cry?
Yes.
Heather, why did you cry?
It was just the goodness of God, just the promise of God. And in any stage of my life, or our lives really, is just his promises are yes and they're amen. And he salvages us to great, even greater places. But more so, this is where we began. This is where it all began.
Well, today, when we're finished here, we're going to get in the tractor. I'm going to prepare you guys. It's a rough ride. There's no pillows. You're gonna get banged around, and we're gonna laugh a lot, and we're gonna drive through a Kurdish village. And the name of that Kurdish village is Mishur. And it's really a derivative of the word Misha. And Misha was the first settlement built by Noah and his family after the flood, right below the cliffs right above us. And it's amazing to me that the local village still has that name. It's called Misha. But we're gonna go all the way up the hill to the place of the landing. And you're going to see a huge indentation in the land, and that's where the Ark first landed. But Andrew, if I'm correct, because of the mud, the Ark slid down the side of the mountain about 1,500 feet to its present location, correct?
Yeah, that's correct.
Yeah. All right, let's open our Bibles. I want us to go to Genesis chapter 8, and I want us to begin in verse 4 to have a little Bible lesson before we get in the tractor. You ready, Denise?
I'm ready, but I don't have a Bible.
Well, that's okay. You can look with me.
Okay.
And the ark rested in the seventh month on the 17th day of the month upon where?
The mountains of
Ararat. Here we are, and there it is. Verse 5, and the waters decreased continually until the 10th month. Now, most people think that the
flood just disappeared. But it did not. It took time for the waters to decrease. And verse 5 says the waters decreased continually until the 10th month. In the 10th month, on the first day of the month, were the tops of the mountains seen. So now the tops of the mountains are beginning to peak through the top of the water. And it says in verse 6, and it came to pass at the end of 40 days that Noah opened the window of the ark which he had made. Now, friends, right now the ark is here. But at this particular moment, what we're reading took place 1,500 feet higher up the hill. We're going to go there. All of these events really took place right here. Verse 7, and he sent forth a raven, which went forth to and fro until the waters were dried up from off the earth. Verse 8, and he sent forth a dove from him to see if the waters were abated from off the face of the ground. Verse 9, but the dove found no rest for the sole of her foot, and she returned unto him in the ark, for the waters were on the face of the whole earth. Then he put forth his hand and took her and pulled her unto him into the ark, verse 10, and stayed yet another 7 days, and again he sent forth the dove out of the ark, verse 11. And the dove came in to him in the evening, and lo, in her mouth was an olive leaf plucked off, so new and new that the waters were abated from off the earth. Now that doesn't mean they were completely abated, but they began to decrease until finally this bird found this olive branch. Verse 12, and he stayed yet another 7 days and sent forth the dove, which returned not again unto him any more. Verse 13, and it came to pass in the 601st year, in the first month, the first day of the month, the waters were dried up from off the earth, and Noah removed the covering of the ark and looked, and behold, the face of the ground was dry. All of these events took place right up the top of the hill where I'm getting ready to take you. So now he removes the covering from the top of the ark. He looks out and he begins to see that the earth is finally beginning to dry. And the Bible tells us in verse 14, and in the second month, on the 7th and 20th day of the month, was the earth dried. And God spake unto Noah, saying, verse 16, go forth of the ark, thou and thy wife and thy sons' wives with thee. Bring forth with thee every living thing that is with thee. But I want you to notice in verse 16 and 17, twice, it says, go forth and bring forth. And when you read this in the original language, it's pretty forceful. And it implies that the family was a little hesitant about leaving the ark. Well, think about it. They were entering a brand new world. You know, we're told by scholars and by scientists that the waves of the earth and what took place was so monumental, it had completely reshaped the face of the earth. A lot of plate tectonics were taking places and things were shifting and moving. And they were going to leave the ark and go into a world that no one had ever seen. And even though today this is beautiful and it's green and it has snow, at that time, it was a world of mud. Who would want to inherit a world of mud? And so when the Bible says, go forth out of the ark, thou and thy wives and thy sons' wives with thee, it really means, I'm telling you, it's time to get moving. And they were a little hesitant about leaving the ark because the ark was secure and they didn't know what was outside the door. And then in verse 17, bring forth with thee, and again, the original language is a little forceful, make the animals leave the ark. Make them leave. And I always think about our dog. We have a Shar Pei named Precious. And when it's cold, we can open the door to the house, and Precious just feels the temperature and turns around and runs back into the house. We have to make Precious go out in the morning. Well, think about these animals. They had been on the ark a little more than a year. That ship being tossed all over by the biggest waves in human history. And now finally it's landed, thud, on the top of a mountain. And the animals, like Precious, when the door opened, were not too excited about going out the door. So God said, bring forth. And the original language literally means, make them leave the ark. Make them leave the ark. And it goes on to say, bring forth with thee every living thing that is with thee of all flesh, both of fowl and of cattle and of creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth, that they may breed abundantly in the earth. And look at this, be fruitful and multiply upon the earth. That's what they were called to do. And Noah went forth, and his sons, and his wife, and his sons' wives with them, every beast, every creeping thing, every fowl, and whatsoever creepeth upon the earth after their kinds, went forth out of the ark. And everything we just read happened 1,500 feet up the hill from here, right on the border of present-day Iran. Now, what do you guys think? Joel?
I'm thinking about the dove, how the dove went to get, what did he get? An olive branch. And an olive branch is representative of Israel.
And also peace.
Mm-hmm. And I think that's just such a great symbol.
Wow. Denise?
Well, I was thinking about all those animals leaving that ark. I mean, a lot of animals. We're not talking about five animals. We're talking about the animal kingdom.
That's true.
That's right.
And all of them in twos, and they're just going out of the ark, and there stands Noah and his wife and his sons and his daughter-in-laws. What a moment to be seeing that and to know that you're the only ones. I think it's an overwhelming moment about the mercy of God. I really do think it's an overwhelming moment about the mercy of God to understand that after a year of being on that ark and hearing the screams of those people who were being dying all around you, and to know that you're the only one that was saved, and to feel that mercy of God, I think it must have been overwhelming, because that's one thing we see about God all the time, is His mercy.
And you know, the Bible tells us that God's not willing that any should perish. And that's why God gave them 120 years to repent. God was holding out, waiting for people to repent. And you know, today some people say, well, Jesus isn't coming. If he was going to come, he would have been here by now. They're cynics and they're mockers. And actually, the Bible says that there would arise mockers in the last day saying, where is the promise of his coming? But just like God was waiting for people to repent before the flood, God is waiting for people to repent now as well. It doesn't mean everybody's going to repent, but God is going to be faithful and just, and he's going to give everybody an opportunity. And that's the season we're living in. Paul?
We got to see a rainbow.
We did.
And that is special. Being here and seeing a rainbow and thinking about what that promise means. It's a promise of protection. It means that rain is now a blessing instead of judgment.
That's true.
It's just special.
You know, you said something interesting yesterday.
People would have been terrified of rain.
They would have been, after this event, if it started raining, they would have said, oh, it's happening again. But God gave the rainbow to let them know, hey, don't be afraid of rain.
That's right.
It's going to be okay.
It's a promise of protection.
I thought that was marvelous. Heather?
Joel was mentioning the olive branch, and I just thought how much that Noah had to, by faith, keep doing these acts of whether it was sending the bird out and waiting and not knowing where it's going and what's, and even to the point down to waiting for a branch to come back. And the faithfulness and trusting God in every step of the way. Mm. It's just the faithfulness of just continuing. Mm. Just continue, because he's faithful.
Mm. Joseph?
I think about the extremes that God had to go through. Honestly, the story of Noah is so redemptive, because here you see animals being traumatized. Noah and his family were probably traumatized from all the explosive water, the signs, the sights, the sounds. And then after all of that, stepping out onto a mud earth, going through all that time, why? Ultimately, to get Jesus here. Mm-hmm. So that Jesus could show up and redeem mankind. It's his kindness that leads us to repentance.
Well, I think this text is amazing. And this text will come alive to you in about half an hour when our tractor takes us through the Kurdish village called Mishur, all the way up to the top of the mountain. And we're going to walk up to the big indentation where these very events took place. And it's going to be so beautiful. There's flowers. I mean, it's like a high mountain pasture. But my friends, when Noah opened that door and looked, he must have said,
ay, ay, ay. How are we going to be fruitful and multiply in this mud mess? And you know, it encourages me because sometimes we look at where we're living.
That's good.
And we think, ugh, it's so difficult. But we can be fruitful and we can multiply. It doesn't matter where we are. When God speaks a blessing on us, and He's given us every blessing in Christ, when God speaks a blessing, it empowers us to do what we need to do wherever we are. Mm-hmm. But now I think we need to finish our tea, and we need to go crawl in the tractor. How do you guys like crawling up into that tractor?
It's my favorite thing to do.
Oh, luxury travel. You know, for those that are watching, yesterday we had to end because of the hailstorm. Yeah. The weather here changes like that.
It does.
I mean, yesterday was beautiful, then it was a hailstorm, today it's beautiful. So we don't know what we're gonna find, but let's finish our tea and let's go climb in the tractor and head to the top of the hill.
Mm-hmm. We do what we did yesterday.
Yeah.
Welcome to Home Group with Rick Renner and our team. We're in the tractor, guys. How do you feel?
This is great.
Amazing.
It's a tractor ride.
Isn't this a lot of fun?
It's exhilarating.
This is great.
And we're going through this ancient Kurdish village, which was even spoken of by early ancient voices that wrote about this site. They talked about the Kurdians who lived on this hill. Well, that's the old word for the Kurdish. It's still here. And the name of this village is Mashur, but really it's a derivative of Misha, which was the first settlement built by Noah and his family just over there below the cliffs. And here, this Kurdish village still has the same name. Is that amazing?
Amazing.
And we're going through this little village. And honestly, guys, when you look around, life hasn't changed much here in several thousand years. What do y'all think about this?
Honey, I think it's great.
Oh, it's fun.
What
it's
do you
very
think, Joel?
Basic.
Very basic.
Yes, you learn you don't need a lot in life, but everybody, they have a lot of happiness here.
What do you think, Z's?
Gives you perspective. I mean, where it all began, and this could be potentially one of the oldest cities in the world.
You know what? This really might be the oldest city. I'd never thought about that.
Well, Paul was mentioning it, and it got me thinking. This could be the oldest town in the world.
That gives a whole new perspective to where we are. Listen to the dogs. Now we're liable to see goats. Okay, here we go, here we go. We're on the way to the landing site. All the way to the top of this hill, right next to the Iranian border, to the big indentation where the ark first landed. And we just read about all of that in the book of Genesis. It is amazing. But to get there, we have to go through this Kurdish village. And Andrew, thank you for bringing us.
You're welcome.
It's such a privilege.
Ready for what's coming next? The Bible warns of a moment coming soon, suddenly and without warning, when Jesus will return to rapture His church. Right after that, the Antichrist will rise, deceive the nations, and unleash unprecedented deception and destruction on the earth. In Rick Renner's powerful new book, The Rapture, The Antichrist, and the Tribulation, an end times countdown, and what happens next, you'll discover what the Bible really says about these prophetic events, what signs to watch for, and how to stay spiritually strong in the final days ahead. Pre-order your copy today at the special price of $21.75. But there's more. In his powerful book, Fallen Angels, Giants, Monsters, and the World Before the Flood, Rick uncovers stunning biblical and archaeological insights about the days of Noah, revealing what really happened before the flood and what it means for our future. This beautifully bound 500-page book is available now for just $29. And don't miss the 10-part series, Discovering Noah's Ark, available in digital or physical formats starting at just $30. Call now or visit Renner.org to order these eye-opening resources and prepare for what's coming next.
Hey, this is Rick Renner, and today I'm in the Tulsa office. And this is the conference room or the boardroom. This room is used all the time for strategic planning for the gospel and for the teaching of the Bible, which we're taking around the world. And all around this room, we have scriptures about wise counselor and wise planning. Of course, we have the Great Commission on the screen behind us. And we even have photographs of all the board of directors of Rick Renner Ministries, who are real board of directors and regularly provide us with the most wonderful godly counsel and advice. But right now, we're in the process of paying off this facility in Tulsa. And guess what? We've already paid off 78% of the whole project. And that is just amazing. If you consider how long we've been doing this, it's really not that long. But because of the grace of God and because of people like you, we are really making significant progress. And when we're finished paying off the debt on this building, it's going to release all these finances to help us take the teaching of the Bible further to the ends of the earth. And if you're not already a part of our ministry expansion project to pay off this facility, we're inviting you to join us and to become a part of our giving team. We're very serious about what we do. We're very careful with our finances, and we're really grateful for you and for every person who is a partner with our ministry. So if you want to become a part of the giving team, we welcome you, and together we're going to remove this debt and release finances to go further in taking the teaching of the Bible to the ends of the earth.
If you've never received Jesus as your Savior and Lord, now is the time for you to experience a new life Jesus has to give you. Pray this prayer with me right now. Lord, I repent of my sin and receive you as my Savior and Lord. Wash away my sin and make me completely new. I thank you that my sin is removed and Satan no longer has any right to lay claim on me. I faithfully promise that I will serve you as my Lord for the rest of my life. Amen.
If you just prayed the prayer of salvation with us, would you please let us know by going to renner.org/salvation? We would love to connect with you. Thank you for joining Rick Renner today. For more information about Renner Ministries and product resources, visit renner.org.